This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Now with part one of the Morning Ag Show, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you very much, Randy, and good morning. Your grain futures yesterday off the Board of Trade. Corn futures firmed, finishing with sharp gains. Soybean futures raised higher throughout the session and finished with sharp gains. And wheat had small gains across the board. First off, corn futures for March closed into another new contract high of 466, adding another 9.5 cents on Tuesday. December gained 3.5, closing at 430.25. Short covering on the heels of additional weather concerns in Argentina and rumors that China is aggressively buying U.S. corn for the near-term delivery helped create a bull spread to the market. Funds are estimated to belong at 335,000 contracts coming into Tuesday and likely added more. It's continued to believe that China corn crop is smaller than the USDA is estimating. Rumors are circulating that China may need to import an additional 10 to 12 million metric tons from the U.S. Theoretically, this could take carryout down to 1.2 or 1.3 billion bushel. The near-term key, however, is weather. Less than ideal conditions in the southern hemisphere and a continued menacing-looking drought monitor map here in the United States suggests world supplies of corn could become critically tight should current weather patterns continue. Your soybean futures again raced higher throughout the Tuesday session, finished with gains of 40.5 for March to 13.5 higher in November. March closed at 12.95.5, November 10.98.25. Both contract high closes. Rumors continue to circulate that China needs more soybeans as well in the earlier part of this coming year, due to a late start in the growing season in South America. Tuesday's close for soybeans was the highest in 6 years. Short covering and continued additional buying by traders already long the market propelled futures upward. However, it continues to be the weather in the South American region and expectations for strong demand and a declining carryout that's driving prices higher. Some technical picture from a long-term perspective continues to suggest that prices could push through 13 on their way to $14 a bushel. Some might even argue soybeans could go to 15 a bushel. It's not believed that farmers have much inventory on the farm, and it's also rumored that South American producers also have been aggressive sellers. When producers have light inventory, this can be a recipe for a bullish run in the market. And finally, taking a look at your wheat futures, March Chicago wheat gained 4.25, 6.18.5, July up 4.75 in Chicago, 6.11.75. Wheat futures appear to be more of a follower today than a leader. Sharp gains in both corn and beans spilled over to wheat. Corn experienced gains of more than 9, and soybeans, again, 38 to 40 cent gains. Solid rain expectations, or for that matter, snow throughout much of the central and western plains could help alleviate dry conditions as well as spruce up the crop. Western regions of the U.S. have remained extremely dry, but we're optimistic that wheat prices can follow corn and beans higher. Support could be coming from a dock worker strike in Argentina and dry conditions in that part of the world, yet it does look like Russia recently received a much-needed moisture and snow there. Managed funds were sent to buyers on Tuesday for wheat. So again, let's go back over and recap your higher grain futures across the board. Corn futures had gains of 3.5 to 9.5, soybeans with gains of 38 to 40, and wheat with gains of 4.25 to 4.75 in Chicago. Now we'll move on and take you to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Tuesday's Cash Grain Report.
This is Tuesday's reported grain price and trend prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices are sharply higher on Tuesday afternoon as spot corn and soybeans hit a six-year high. In northern West Illinois country, grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 9 cents at 436 to 468. Soybean bids are 41 to 42 cents higher at 1246 to 1285. In central Illinois country, grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 9 cents at 448 to 474. Soybean bids are 41 cents higher at 1273 to 1302. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids are up 9 to 10 cents, 457 to 499. Soybean bids are 41 cents higher at 1283 to 1332. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 40 cents higher at 1299 to 1316. Basis was unchanged at 3 over to 20 over the January. High Pro soybean meal on a truck base is offered at $4.27 to $4.37 a ton, up $11.70 a ton. What base is steady at option to 10 over the January. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids are up 10 to 13 cents, 466 to 497. What base is unchanged to up 3 at option to 28 over the March. Illinois River barge flooding elevators quoted to producer corn bids 11 to 12 cents higher at 479 to 484. What base is up 1 to 2 at 13 over to 18 over the March. Soybeans rallied 40 to 41 cents at 1305 to 1308. What base is steady to up 1 at 9 over to 12 over the January. East St. Louis barge flooding tomato placer producer corn bids up 8 to 9 cents at 503 to 504. These elevators rallied their soybean prices 41 to 42 cents. Quotations at 1332 to 1334. So if we closed up 5 cents at 684 to 649, Milo ended the day 9 cents higher at 536 to 541. And contract bids producers for January delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 438 to 469, soybeans at 1246 to 1285. In the central part of the state, corn for January delivery at 446 to 474, soybeans at 1273 to 1302. In the southern part of the state, corn for January delivery at 456 to 499, soybeans at 1283 to 1332. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to your livestock futures report here on this Wednesday morning. Cattle markets finished lower Tuesday, likely due to the extreme upswing in grain markets. Hog futures stayed choppy but did finish higher on Tuesday. Taking a look at your cattle markets, they again finished lower yesterday with the strongest weakness in the front month. December cattle was $1 lower at $112.05. February dropped $1.20 to $114.57. December futures expire tomorrow, Thursday, and its movement is more tied to the movement in the cash market. Cash trade is still undeveloped this week, but some early bids emerged at $110 in Nebraska. These bids were steady with last week and $3 under Monday's December close. Asking prices are targeting higher at $112 to $113. Cash trade will get more developed with the cattle exchange trade. A winter storm moving across the northern plains may limit cattle movement and stays supportive to the market. The bulk of trading will likely take place today and tomorrow, with markets being closed on Friday for New Year's. Retail values were mixed on Tuesday. Choice carcasses finished the day 248 higher at 210.30, but select carcasses were $1.17 lower, 195.48. The choice to select spread is at 14.82, but has been widening over the past few days. It may be a signal of a more current feedlot situation. Movement of product was moderate at 144 loads traded, with weakness on Tuesday. February cattle futures were testing support at their 10-day moving average. The short-term technical picture is still trending higher. Feeder cattle markets saw selling pressure as well. December feeders lost $1.37 to $139.62. March feeders dropped $1.37 as well at $141.22. A strong move in the grain market weighed on feeder prices on Tuesday afternoon. Corn prices are challenging the highest price levels they've seen since June of 2019, and that will limit feeder cattle rallies. Moving on to your hog futures, again, they stayed choppy this week but did finish higher on Tuesday. Front month February gained 70 cents at 67.20. April finished 32 cents higher at 71.07. A winter storm moving across the northern plains is helping throw bids into the hog market. As cash prices were firmer Tuesday, the cash trend is opposite of the lean hog index, which has dropped $1.02 on Tuesday to $66. The February contract is trading 6.60 over the index and could limit the upside. The strength in the hog market was fueled by an improvement in pork retail value. At midday Tuesday, pork carcasses were $1.56 higher and finished the day 51 cents higher to $72.36. Load count was modest at 355 loads traded. Pork belly primal cuts led carcasses higher, gaining $12.74 on the close. Carcasses are trading $3 higher than Thursday of last week's close, and if this trend continues, hog prices will stay supportive. Pork product index stayed soft, but may be looking to turn higher. The index dropped 11 cents to 70.84 Tuesday. Technically, the hog market is working in a sideways pattern and trying to fight through overhead resistance. A strong fundamental picture would likely be the key to pushing prices higher going in to the end of the week. Again, a short week as markets are closed on Friday for New Year's Day. So again, working back over your cattle markets and hog markets from Tuesday, December cattle was a dollar lower, 112.05. February down to $1.20, 114.57. Your feeder cattle markets for January lost a dollar 37 to 139.62. March down a dollar 37 as well, 141.22. And your hog markets saw front month February gaining 70 to 67.20. April 32 cents higher for hogs, 71.07. Now we'll move on and take you back to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Tuesday's Cash Livestock Report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday Afternoon Livestock Report. Started with National Daily Direct Hog Report. Calculations for 200-pound park carcass traded 24 cents higher. In a range of 44 to 51.50 with a weighted average carcass price of 50.06. From the Illinois Direct Sow Port, slaughter sow prices were steady with light to moderate demand. Four moderate offerings, U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded at $20 to $25, 4 to 5 weighted at $24 to $28, 5 to 6 weighted at $27 to $32, and over 600 pounds, $30 to $34. On the Illinois direct hog trade, prices of barrels and gilts country buying points were steady, with light to moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $28 to $34. Packer receipts for barrels and gilts had totaled $24,723. In the direct cattle trade, in the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, choice steers and live bases trade at 109 to 110. Choice heifers and live bases trade at 108 to 111. From the National Daily Pork Plant Port, trading for retail and processing cuts was established, with 355 loads traded. Calculations for 200-pound pork carcass was 72.36, which is 51 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Port, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading mixed. Choice carcasses were $210.30, which is $2.48 higher, while select carcasses were $195.48, which is $1.17 lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated 116,000, compared to 119,000 last week, 101,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated 465,000, compared to 473,000 last week, and 408,000 one year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And that's all for part one of the Morning Ag Show on this Wednesday morning, brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto of Litchfield, by Farm Credit Illinois, and by Pros Drainage. Radar shows light showers scattered all around the mid-Illinois listening area on this Wednesday morning. This check of radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company.
M&M Service Company's grain department is now on Twitter. We tweet a daily morning market update with morning commentary, a noon market update, and a market close update along with afternoon commentary. We also tweet important USDA reports, including weekly crop conditions, export sales, the monthly supply demand reports, and any other important market news. You can follow us at MM Grain FS, or you can find our feed on our website, mmservice.com. Click on the grain tab. As always, M&M Service appreciates your patronage.
Today across mid-Illinois, cloudy skies with rain or snow likely. Temperatures falling to the low 30s. By this evening, we will have northwest winds at 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, cloudy skies with a slight chance of snow. Low temperatures in the low 20s. For tomorrow, New Year's Eve, partly cloudy skies, highs in the mid-30s. For New Year's Day through Sunday, a chance of rain or snow. Friday and Saturday, partly cloudy on Sunday. Low temperatures in the upper 20s. Highs in the upper 30s. Cloudy, rainy skies at the Weather Center on this Wednesday morning. Right now, a temperature of 39 degrees. This check of radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company. Part two of the Morning Ag Show brought to you by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, by Stein Seed, and by the CNB Bank and Trust, with 17 locations to serve you.
Chosen by the motivated, chosen by the hardworking, chosen by soybean growers everywhere. Stein Seed is built on legendary soybean genetics. Our decades of research have resulted in Stein Enlist E3 brand soybeans, which offer superior weed control, higher yield performance, and ease of use. For soybeans, choose Stein, because Stein has yield. Your field will prove you right.
Find your seat by calling Ryan Brunchen at 217-820-8490.
Montgomery County Farm Bureau members can now save additional cash on the purchase of an eligible Ford or Lincoln vehicle with a new limited-time offer. Now through January 4th, members who buy a new 2020 or 2021 Ford or Lincoln can receive a $1,000 cash bonus or a $500 cash bonus on a new F-150 or Super Duty. You must be a Farm Bureau member for 30 days prior to purchase. To learn more, go to FordFarmBureauAdvantage.com or visit your local Ford dealer.
If you currently have farmland under management or are managing your own property, C&B Bank and Trust has farm management services to help you. At C&B Bank and Trust, their success is a direct result of your success. Stop by and visit with Matt Slidham to see how C&B's farm management and agricultural consulting services can help open doors for you and your family. C&B Bank and Trust, helping to open doors since 1854.
Trust and Wealth Management Services, not a deposit, not FDIC insured, not insured by any federal government agency, not guaranteed by the bank, and may go down in value.
6:29 on this Wednesday morning, now with part two of the Morning Ag Show. Once again, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thanks again, Randy. Now for Ag News on a Wednesday morning. Agriculture is now looking ahead after outgoing President Trump abruptly reversed course again and signed the massive stimulus bill and spending package, providing billions for producers and nutrition programs. Now that the $26 billion are more split evenly between producers and nutrition aid, plus $7 billion for broadband is on its way, agriculture is preparing and focused for the new year, according to American Farm Bureau's Andrew Walmsley.
This is definitely a good, I don't want to say band-aid, but definitely a good stepping stone into the new year to see where we're at in a few months. There's obviously unresolved issues out there with liability protections for businesses and the whole issues with state and local government.
A partisan funding fight is still unresolved, but the now signed bill sweeps those left out of earlier virus bills, including contract growers and those that had to depopulate herds earlier as infected packing plants curtailed operations. There's also more help for cattle and dairy producers and processing plants, plus renewed small business grants and loans. The ethanol industry, ravaged by the pandemic, depressed fuel usage to the tune of some $3.8 billion, is now made eligible for help from the Commodity Credit Corporation, but still only at the Ag Secretary's discretion. Renewable Fuels Association CEO Jeff Cooper expects this and other issues will come up again.
Well, we certainly don't expect that this will be the last coronavirus relief package. And we have heard President-elect Biden and members of Congress say that this will be continue to be a priority for them when they come back for a new Congress in the new year.
Cooper says the ethanol industry has a long way to climb out of the hole that COVID put it in and may need more help. Plus, there may be new opportunities.
We also know there's going to be a real focus on infrastructure and climate. And there could be some sort of tie-ins or overlap with those efforts and what may come of new COVID relief legislation in the new year.
The industry will get help, though, from tax break extensions and a separate part of the virus package, including a credit for second-generation biofuels. Also included are excise tax credits for alternative fuels. A new analysis of independent data for November shows that reported new COVID-19 infection rates among meat and poultry workers were more than 8 times lower than the general population. Data from the Food and Environment Reporting Network says the meat and poultry sector reported an average of 5.5 new cases per 10,000 workers daily in November. Infection rates among meat and poultry workers have declined steeply in the last 6 months, while surging across the U.S. The New York Times reports that during the same period, the average new case rate for U.S. population was 45.3 cases per 100,000 people a day. The analysis follows a Centers for Disease Control decision this month to prioritize vaccinations of frontline meat and poultry workers. Meat industry president and CEO Juliana Potts says this new analysis is encouraging evidence that the more than $1.5 billion in comprehensive protections implemented since the spring have reversed the pandemic's impact on the selfless men and women who keep America's refrigerators full and the farm economy working throughout COVID-19. And in the latest news across the Atlantic, European Union ambassadors approved a provision application of the EU-United Kingdom Future Relations Agreement, paving the way for implementing the deal on January 1st, coming up on Friday. A spokesperson for the German presidency of the Council of the EU tweeted that the EU ambassadors have unanimously approved the provisions application of the EU-UK Trade and Cooperation Agreement as of January 1st. Politico says while the go-ahead from the ambassadors is an important step, official approval will likely come on Tuesday or today. Some countries, like Sweden, still need to consult their national parliament. Final adoption of the trade text will be done via a written procedure, which means that countries send a note of consent to the EU Council. Brussels and London clinched the EU-UK trade deal on December 24th. The European Commission presented the treaty as an EU-only agreement with a limited provisional application, which means the European Union can provisionally implement the agreement with the approval of the European Union countries, but without consent of the European Parliament. The British Parliament has been called back for December 30th to ratify the deal, which is highly likely to pass. In other ag news from around the world, southern Brazil saw some moisture over the Christmas weekend, but drier weather is continuing to return to the region as 2020 winds down. An Agriculture.com article says the drier than normal conditions will stretch into Uruguay and eastern Argentina through January 3rd. Expected weather concerns will likely continue to put an upward pressure on corn and soybean prices. A strong La Nina will remain in place and will continue in the southern hemisphere through next summer. During those La Nina events, the Brazilian monsoon season tends to be delayed, which can lead to suboptimal soil moisture for the country's more important crop-growing regions. The wetter weather appears to be delayed so far. However, the influence of La Nina often decreases during the month of January as smaller-scale atmospheric processes increase their influence over the precipitation patterns in Brazil that could lead to an increase in moisture heading into the later stages of January. Back to news here in the States. Global grain stocks will likely be about 1.5% higher than last year, reversing the downward trend over the last few years. Despite the rise in global supply, USDA forecast higher corn, wheat, and barley prices than in the 2019-2020 marketing year. The average corn price is projected at $4 a bushel compared to $3.85 the prior year. The average wheat price is forecasted at $4.80, up from $4.60 the previous marketing year. And the average barley price is projected at $4.75, up a nickel from last year. Feed, food, and export markets for corn all promising for this coming year. U.S. corn exports were up 49% in 2020 to 67.3 million metric ton, a huge boom to the markets and growers. On the corn import side, demand by the top seven importers is up 9% this year compared to declines in 2019. Imports of corn jumped 71%, which the Capital Press article says definitely tells the story. China also played a big role in the wheat market, with their imports of up to 47.8%. Demand for wheat by five of the biggest importers was up 5% this year, compared to a 2% increase in 2019. In news from the USDA, they and the Health and Human Services Department released the 2020 edition of the Dietary Guidelines for Americans. The Hagstrom Report says the guidelines will be in place for 5 years. Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue says the theme of the guidelines is make every bite count. In a news release, the two agencies say they didn't deal with the most controversial recommendations from the Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee, which was a specific limit on alcoholic beverages for men and added sugar intake. The release says, steeped in scientific evidence, the key recommendations look similar to those of the past and address two topics that garnered much attention throughout the development of the guidelines, added sugars and alcoholic beverages, according to Tom Sensel, the CEO of United Fresh. He says, today's reality of facing the COVID-19 pandemic brings greater urgency than ever before. No longer are we just thinking about poor diets leading to long-term chronic disease. Now we clearly see that healthy eating is a critical defense against communicable disease such as the coronavirus. He says the dietary guidelines must repeat what we already know about healthy eating. Dr. Dan O'Brien is a professor with the Department of Agricultural Economics at Kansas State University. He recently wrote an article on soybean exports and the potential impact they could have on prices during the next year. He says overseas demand for soybeans is likely to be strong, but the challenge is the U.S. might not have enough soybeans to meet demand.
The main issue that's a surprise to this market is how tight the stocks are and stocks to use. The USDA came out in their December 10th report, projected basically 3.9% stocks to use, 175 million bushels. And you're getting awfully close to where we were back in 2012-13 when we were around 100 million bushels, and down the minimum we'd had was 2.65. The thing that strikes me is that there's the possibility of pretty strong export demand, particularly with dryness down South America.
He says finding any extra soybeans to export would mean a lot fewer beans available for domestic use.
You know, when I look at the scenarios of where we would go if we had to draw more than the USDA's projection of 2.2 billion bushels, well, there's hardly anywhere to go. We would literally have to start cutting back domestic crush to go much higher with exports. It looks to me like you could keep the USDA's balance sheet unchanged across the board except for adding 50 and then 100 million bushels to their projection. And basically you get down to 125 to below 100 million bushels down to 75. And we're teetering on that edge.
O'Brien says if the U.S. does try to pull all the extra soybeans it can find, prices are going to immediately jump higher.
Economists talk about inelastic parts of the demand curve. We're sitting there at 10.55 at 3.86 stocks to use, unheard of to where we thought we might be a year or so ago. If we try to crunch this thing, tighten it up even more, and basically get the brooms out to sweep around the inside of the bin to get everything, we're at the place where, instead of 10.55, if we had to go there, you're jumping up pretty explosively up to $12, up to $13, et cetera. So, you know, nobody wants to be an over-panicker on these things. But the USDA didn't raise that number, I would contend, because they didn't have much room to raise it at all.
If soybean prices keep going higher as a result of demand, O'Brien says that could mean we're in for an acreage battle heading into next year's planting season.
I don't doubt that there will be with prices like this for beans, and the corn folks don't want to, quote, be left out. When you look at the type of prices that we're seeing for new crop bids for corn versus soybeans, here we have Dease corn. Last I looked, it's been trading around 415 to 420. November soybeans, about 1080 to 1090. What I'm saying is if we continue to have strong demand pull from China, other parts of the world for soybeans, and we start to jump 50 cents, a dollar higher for beans, then you're right square in the psyche and decision-making framework of our farmers.
Again, that's Dan O'Brien with Kansas State University. And finally, another ag news here locally for your Wednesday. The Central Illinois Food Bank will be having a drive-up food giveaway today at 1 at the Carlinville Plaza in Carlinville. It's open to everyone, no registration is required, and no financial eligibility requirements are required either. They ask you to please wear a mask and clear a space out in your trunk or back seat to ensure everyone's safety. Again, that is a Central Illinois Food Bank drive-up food giveaway. It'll be held today, Wednesday, from 1 this afternoon until supplies run out, again at the Carlinville Plaza in Carlinville. And that concludes your Ag News here on a Wednesday morning. But remember, you can always send us your Ag News by email at WSMI at WSMIRadio.com. So again, for this Wednesday morning, December 30th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.